to the Fit and Fabulous podcast with Dr. Jamie Seaman. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Jamie. Welcome back to the Fit and Fabulous podcast. Thanks to everybody that has listened to our previous episodes, left your reviews on Apple Podcasts, all our YouTube subscribers. We appreciate the love so much over here. Today, I have a very special friend and guest. We are going to be talking about my hair mineral analysis. So I'm gonna open the books and let you guys see into my body a little bit. But the guest that I have today is the one and only Barton Scott. He is the CEO of Upgraded Formulas. He's a biochemist. He's a researcher, but he's a chemical engineer, and he used his background as well as his expertise in nutrition and research, and he founded Upgraded Formulas. He's passionate about helping people combat stressors of daily life, the toxicity of the modern world, the lack of nutrients, and the mineral absorption issues that we are all facing. He's made it his mission to reduce suffering by increasing the public understanding of the human body's inner relationships. And today, you guys are going to learn about my body because Barton sent me one of his test kits. So, Barton, welcome. Thanks for coming on the Fit and Fabulous podcast. Okay, so tell people what Upgraded Formulas is, what this test I did.
Yeah, so Upgraded Formulas is my sort of scientific love letter that was all the things I needed personally. I was doing a lot of things right, like a lot of people listening to this. It was not my first rodeo in nutrition. I had been supplementing since I was a 13-year-old. I competed at a very high level in wrestling, and I did other sports too, but with wrestling, just like bodybuilding for certain weight classes or things like that, you have to make weight. So it's sort of self-induced hypothyroidism, if you think about it. I mean, I didn't think of it that way then, but you're pushing really, really hard. Of course, you're getting beat. It's only just you on the mat. If you're winning. So there's a real correlation between how much energy do I have and how long can I go? And is now a good time to quote sprint in the match? And that gave me this really tight feedback loop, but it also gave me these insane deficiencies and then I went into other sports like jujitsu and things like that during college while I was earning my degree in chemical engineering. And by the time I finished school, I had a lot of knowledge about nutrition. I'd been using this growing lens as a researcher, as someone that spent a lot of time, got a minor in chemistry too, a minor in math and physics. And I started to really look at nutrition differently, like much more deeply. And I realized as I started to lose my short-term memory from all these deficiencies and the lack of electricity in my brain and body, I was taking a lot of the minerals that I needed to take, but I wasn't absorbing them. And I already knew good brands that were ethical, that did a good job for producing quality, but the problem was absorption. So that was something I was intuitively trained as a chemical engineer. I had an intuitive sort of feel for based on all the learnings, the thermodynamics, the chemistry, fluid mechanics, all these different things. So what we get paid as chemies to do is we take an industrial process, we show up on the scene, we learn, and then we take a new technologies and apply it to those processes to get better outcomes. And we're really the people in the world that do that. And that doesn't matter if it's for like jet fuel or gasoline or whatever it is. And so I thought like, oh, well, I get why this hasn't been done before, because most people even have like one lens or another. But I had like this collection of things and I was my own sort of nutritionist by that point. And became a nutritionist too, as I was working with more clients and trying to heal myself. So I started to realize like, wow, okay. So if I'm missing these things and I've already cut out all these toxic triggers from my diet, and I'm fit, but I'm unhealthy, and I'm in my mid-20s, and I have good relationships and all these things, how many other people are suffering from this or worse? And I look at my levels then, and it looked like an unhealthy 80-year-old. I mean, there are healthy 80-year-olds out there. But when you don't have magnesium or you don't have sodium in your body, low levels are much more dangerous than high. And then it's not just about the individual level, it's about the relationship. Just like in life, the relationships matter. How do you this in regards to something else? So that's what we'll dive into here, because you've been courageous and grateful enough to like share your results here with people, which I think is awesome, because it's a great way to teach and learn. So yeah, we can hop into it, take any direction you want to go.
Well, let's talk a little bit about like mineral analysis. So like, why is like, talk to me about how do people test minerals? Why is hair mineral analysis like a good option?
Yeah, it's a great option, because with blood, you know, blood shows us a lot of valuable things we can't get in hair, obviously. But what hair does show us, you know, hair grows at a similar rate as skin. We think of skin as our largest organ. I propose that we think of hair as sort of similar. I mean, it's growing tissue. It's what it is, right? And it's, you know, it's a great indicator of how our health is doing. If our natural hair is healthy and vibrant, it's a good indication that other things are working well. Our hair, our skin, our nails, all these things are indications. Just like not having headaches is an indication that you're doing well. If you're having them frequently, it's an alarm, you know, alarm bell. So what's different though, when you look at minerals with blood, first you're really getting them individually. So you'll test like iron, you'll test RBC, magnesium, things like this, but you don't see the relationship between them. And you see a day's worth of data by definition.
It's just a snapshot, like at that moment in time, that's what your RBC magnesium was.
And really, you know, I grew up in a family that was very entrepreneurial too, and extended family too. And so there's always business conversations and investing in company, things like that. And you would just never invest in a company where you saw a day's worth of data, like, oh, here's sales for a day. Here's the jobs done for a day. And yet with our health, which is so much more important, underlies everything, we do that all the time, even in areas where we don't have to. So it's a super valuable test. It's super affordable, but everything I've seen and all the other tests I've done, functional tests, it's the most intricate. And that's why I've spent the last 8 or 9 years studying it and reading everything I could, looking at over 1,000 analyses myself. And then my team's done a lot more since I brought on nutritionists and trained them myself. So yeah, it's valuable for all of those reasons and a whole lot more that I could mention. So yeah, it's really, really cool.
Okay. So somebody goes on your website and orders this kit. Now I got Barton's kit a long time ago, and then I was running for Mrs. Nebraska and Mrs. America, and I've been trying to grow my hair out. So the last thing I want to do is cut off a chunk of hair and send it to Barton. But talk to people about, because I know I was asking you, people on YouTube can see my hair. This is my natural hair. I don't have any extent, like I've grown my hair out massively in the last year. But talk to people about like, do they can, what hair from where on the body, like how much hair do you need? I know I had lots of questions when I got my kit.
Sure. And for anyone listening to this, we do have videos that explain this on the website. We show you how to do it. Our kit explains it really well. And it's important to understand that, yeah, if you have shaved your head, for example, and you can do underarm, that's great. You can do pubic, that's great. You can do chest hair too as guys. And then, you know, also if, you know, you're, I guess, really, really concerned about this, you know, you can still take nape. If your hair is long, you can still take it from the nape of the neck, and you grab the inch and a half closest to the scalp, and you send that into us, and you discard the rest, because that's the freshest data. We don't want hair that's 10 inches long, because it's from 6 months ago. So we want that inch and a half closest to the scalp. And that's going to give us the best. It could even be the half inch. It could be the quarter inch closest. So any of that will be really, really good data. And we've done this a couple of times with our mutual friend Tara, and talked about her results too. And And I've gone over one of the questions that she had asked is colored hair. So what happens? So she had dyed her hair blonde or blonder, and you know, she had some false high 10 levels. Now, 10 is not, it's a really small part of the test. We look at 63 different elements. So that's not essential. It doesn't affect the macro minerals and the biggest movers on the test. So just like anything, there's areas of focus that are, you know this from being in the medical field, there's aspects of things that are more critical than others. That's the 80-20 rule in everything. So I like to focus on the 20 or 30% that's going to give us the biggest movers and the priorities that we need to focus on first. And then you have a follow-up test, and then maybe your focus shifts. It usually does, because the supplements absorb well, the food choices, you know, all these different things that you can, these are levers that you can change that allows you to really make some shifts. And that impacts things like thyroid function, adrenal function, metabolism, blood sugar, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. All of those we can see insight into via minerals, because minerals activate all these enzymatic pathways in the body. That's great. So
amazing. Okay. So let's look at my report. And for our YouTube people, I'm going to try to get a, I'll put the PDF up so you can kind of, you know, see it. And for the people listening, we're just, we'll try to describe it to you. But tell us how to look at this report, and we can start diving into it.
Sure. So in the top part, I do a quick glance. I look at the heavy metals. I look at the individual levels, and I sort of take that in. But what I mainly focus on is page two at the top, the significant ratios. And these are ratios of things like sodium to potassium, calcium to phosphorus, zinc to copper, sodium to magnesium. So now, one thing that we notice though individually is that your calcium is high. And I wonder if you are supplementing maybe a lot of vitamin D.
So I do take vitamin D. I'm not good about taking it regularly, but okay. Because in Nebraska, I don't take it a lot in the summer, but in Nebraska, our vitamin D levels peak like August, September. We just live at a latitude, you know, where it's cold and snowy, and I don't get as much sunlight in the winter. So I usually will try to supplement some in the winter, D3, K2.
Great, great. Well, in this case, you could do a blood test for your vitamin D levels. At least at this time, I bet they were pretty high, because vitamin D causes calcium to absorb. Now, were you also taking calcium in either directly as a supplement or indirectly as a multivitamin? Because it's very high, and it's one of the things we can talk about.
Yeah, I don't supplement with calcium. I haven't taken like a multi since I was on a prenatal, you know, when I was pregnant with my girls. So I don't take any calcium.
Good, good. Okay. Yeah. So calcium comes from a lot of different sources. Even if you're not doing dairy, it can come from green leafy vegetables, things like that, right? And people can pull that up individually. So for the time being, what I would recommend based on these results, and this is the interesting thing, is that although some of those foods that are high in calcium are, you know, typically very good for us, by currently, you know, individually, and also right now, which might not be the case in 3 months when we retest, is, you know, you want to cut out foods that are, you know, high in calcium, or eat them very rarely, because that is more of a factor than any other thing that the food is going to provide. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's key. That's one of the key ones. We want to bring that down. What that's going to do is that's going to improve metabolic function. And that's going to improve the ratio of calcium to phosphorus. Phosphorus is a little bit low. So the other thing you can do to sway that is you can actually start, I mean, you can eat more red meat. You can eat other foods high in phosphorus. You can supplement phosphorus. The magnesium shows high, and there's two different reasons why that could be. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is. That could be that you need vitamin B6, which a lot of people that are, I mean, your output is tremendous, right? Doing all the different things you do. So there's a good chance that B6 is such a critical cofactor in so many things. I mean, for magnesium to be utilized in the body, you really need B6 in a lot, not all, but a lot of the enzymatic functions. So that's something you could start taking, like P5P, magnesium, 50 milligrams morning and evening. And because you actually want to continue the supplementation of magnesium, even though it's high, because it's in relationship to calcium, which is higher. And so you want to continue doing that. You want to cut down calcium. And that, you know, that'll help a lot of things. That'll even help, you know, are you noticing any sort of stiffness at all, like joints, like more so than maybe your baseline a year ago, 2 years ago?
No, I wouldn't say so. No. I mean, I feel pretty dang good, you know.
Yeah, I would think so.
I do take magnesium.
Yeah.
Pretty regularly. Yeah.
Have you tried ours yet? Upgraded magnesium?
Yes. And I tried the, because you have it in liquid and capsules, right? The nano? Yes. Yeah. Took it because I normally will take oral in the morning, and then I was trying transdermal before bed, but a lot of the transdermal mags are kind of itchy. So then I was like laying in bed wanting to like scratch my legs. But so I tried the liquid before bed, and I like that. Slept real good.
Yeah, you'll notice like your dreams are more vivid. I know Tara talked about getting her dreams back. She didn't realize she hadn't dreamed in 5 or 6 years, probably. So so that's one way, you know, because typically you remember your dreams on the way out, and you have to go deep enough to get that. So that's really, really key. And that also can show why your level is high, because you're actually absorbing it. When you're taking just about any other magnesium out there, and supplements in general, you're absorbing about 20, 25% or less. So that's why the levels weren't budging for me. That's why I went and developed what we have today, these different solutions. So that are unique to us. And that allows us to give us leverage when we see what's wrong, see what we want to improve, rather. It gives us the opportunity to improve it. So those are key. Your sodium to potassium, I'd rather see it elevated than low. Yours is, if it's not ideal, yours is elevated. Sodium is a really good thing that's been demonized for, you know, a lot of wrong reasons, like all the research was paid for by sugar interests that we think of in terms of hypertension. You probably are very aware of this. I wonder if you could tell me what your sodium intake is like. Is it maybe 4,000 milligrams a day? Or are you doing, you know, any idea what it might be?
Yeah. So every morning I do basically a 2-to-1 ratio sodium to potassium, but I do 2 grams of sodium, with my workout in the morning. And then, yeah, you're probably right. It's probably about 4 grams, probably another 2000 milligrams over the course of the day with my meals.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. You are sweating a lot. So that makes sense. I think what we would want to see is we want potassium to come up a bit so that we can push sodium down and have an ideal ratio. In this particular case, you do have more sodium than you need, which is kind of rare. But again, I'd rather see you, it's not like ultra high or anything. I'd rather see you be up here than like 1.4 or less. You start to guarantee emotional dysfunction. Like people are just sort of emotionally unstable, because the energy in themselves is just changing. Their body's working really hard to balance it. You're actually retaining fluid when you're low in sodium. We think it's when we're high in sodium. It's not that way. Because sodium is critical for the heart to function. And if we lose it, we die. So the body goes on red alert, because our kidneys can pump over 3 pounds of salt out of our body every day. So it's no issue whatsoever to just, you know, pump extra sodium out. But when we don't have enough, that's when we have an issue. So that's something to think about, really easy to fix, frankly. So that's good. The other reason we want to be supplementing something like upgraded potassium is because for the thyroid ratio, a little bit elevated there. Mine personally in the past has been higher than this. So, you know, it's something we definitely want to work on, but it's not alarming. And we'll improve that. And by two ways, one, reducing calcium on the top of page two, and then two, by increasing potassium. And that's in line with that previous ratio and the one before with calcium being elevated in comparison to phosphorus. So, you know, what does that give us? It gives improved thyroid function. Awesome. What does that give us? You know, all the things that we want, really. Like, you know, just if someone has cold hands and cold feet, if someone has sluggish weight loss, if someone has a tough time getting going, if someone feels like they have brain fog, these are all related to that.
Interesting. Okay, so less calcium, more potassium. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Should I decrease sodium or?
A little bit. I think you could, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And I do have a history of hypothyroidism, probably related to my insulin resistance, but I, during my pregnancies, was diagnosed with hypothyroidism. And then after I went low carb, about 5 years ago now, fixed my insulin resistance. And I follow my thyroid pretty regularly. And my free T3 is like 2.7 and my TSH is usually between 1 and 2.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Free T3. I really like looking at that and our reverse T3. Those are really good ones. And that matches up because what we're seeing here is because that's elevated, it's showing a little bit of low thyroid. We can also improve that by iodine supplementation because your adrenals are in a good place, like really good place. And I'm really happy to see that.
What are we looking at when we're talking about like the adrenal function?
The adrenals, two different ways, one sodium to potassium, also sodium to magnesium. Those are really key. And why is that? Well, the adrenals, for people listening, you know, what minerals do they need to produce hormones? Because pop quiz, what are hormones made of? Well, they're made of fats and they're made of minerals. And the things that interfere with that would be primarily heavy metals and nutrient deficiencies, too much of a certain mineral. So, you know, why am I saying minerals and not vitamins? Well, minerals, when I say minerals, I really mean elements as a whole. And that's what the whole world is made of. So, of course, that's what we are. We're a living version of the earth, or a human version of the earth. So, of course, we need, you know, if we want to live optimally, we have to pay attention to this. So that's something. So because your adrenals are good, yeah, I would press the pedal a bit. Our peak thyroid would be really good for you because it has a balanced ratio of zinc and copper. In this particular case, your copper looks good. Your zinc, it looks good too. So you would actually want to raise zinc. So in this case, what I would have you do is I would recommend supplementing our upgraded iodine twice a day just to give you that steady boost. I think that's going to have you feeling really good. And iodine's awesome. I mean, and when we eat it's awesome because it's antibacterial. It's actually also antiviral, which is cool. And as you know, like people have, and still in a lot of hospitals today, people will use iodine around.
Yeah, surgical prep. What's that? We use it for surgical prep.
Yeah, exactly. It's so wondrous. It's such a amazing thing. And for any women out there that are either pregnant or wanting to be pregnant or breastfeeding, iodine is essential for your child's brain development. And it's just not talked about enough. There's some research to show that a 6,000 person study resulted in 96% of people being deficient in iodine. Mainly, I would say, because our diet, even when we're eating a quote unquote very healthy diet, doesn't really contain iodine in the US because, you know, unlike places like Japan that are, if we think we have it figured out, Japan has it much better figured out than we do in terms of long, healthy lives. in nutrition, they eat about 80 times more iodine per day than we do. And is that the only reason they're healthy? No, of course not. But it's certainly something to think about and consider. So where they get it? They get it from a lot of sea vegetables. Some sea vegetables can have heavy metals. So I prefer to supplement it personally because we third-party test, you know, for heavy metals. But you can do kelp as well. That's a pretty good one, pretty good source. But you just don't know how much, you don't know how much iodine you're actually getting. There's a lot of inconsistency there. So like, where was it? Where was it raised? How was it processed? All these things versus like, can you detect levels in each batch? So that's something that I do almost daily as well. My whole life, I've been pretty much on the low thyroid spectrum. So I've had to supplement up from that. People that are really low, that run low in calcium, will typically run high in thyroid activity. And that thyroid activity will usually put the throttle on their adrenals and really, so you'll see like this pattern of low adrenals, high thyroid. I would say this is a more common pattern. It's very representative. So I'm really, really glad that you're sharing this with people. So what I would do with zinc and copper, zinc is related to testosterone and progesterone in the body. And your levels look really good here. It's also really easy to supplement and improve this.
So I make a boatload of progesterone. Like I make enough progesterone in luteal phase to support five babies, five pregnancies. Yeah. I did some cycle mapping on myself and I make a ton of progesterone.
Wow. Interesting. Well, yeah. So you're good. What you really want to look at here is reducing copper levels. But zinc, by taking zinc, that's going to help do that too. We don't want too much copper because we will have we'll have creativity, but after a certain point, like if it went higher than this, you'd start to feel ungrounded creativity where you start things, but the tendency becomes, I want to start and do a lot of things, but completion feels harder.
That's totally me. That's totally me. I like quilt half a blanket and then, or like knit half a blanket and then it just let it sit there for 5 years.
And then like, okay, cool. Kind of like a cat that like is like in the room and just like gets up and runs out of the room. You're like, oh, okay, well, done with that thing for a while. So this is how, and something I'm writing about in my book is how nutrition becomes personality in all these ways. So it's just important for people to understand. So copper is related to estrogen. So right now you should be making plenty of estrogen, at least based on these levels taken at this time, that represent the 6 to 8 weeks prior to that. So that's a great statistical average of where you were. This was taken 7/09. So it's about time for another test whenever you're ready. But maybe another month implementing some of these changes, retesting again is what I'd recommend. By supplementing some of the zinc in between, you immediately start to feel more clear, more decisive, and more ability to say no to the things you should say no to, which is really, really powerful. And then I'm sure you have a good handle on that already, but it just improves it.
Hey, Barton, quick question about because we were talking about estrogen and progesterone with zinc and copper. What do you see in people who take like hormonal birth control? Does it affect their mineral? And then the copper IUD, do you know anything about?
Yeah, so that's typically, it does affect copper levels typically. And you can balance it with zinc typically. You know, everyone's individuality is important to take into account, and then their levels during that time. So testing in every 3 months or so while they're on a birth control is really good to be monitoring that, because it, you know, it's just so indicative. Copper IUDs result in a lot of bio unavailable copper, Or yeah, certainly. Yeah. So the thing there is probably supplementing zinc, if they're going to continue using that.
Yeah, I always suggest patients with copper IUDs take additional zinc. And then like 1 in 10 women with the copper IUD will actually experience heavier periods, like heavy menstrual bleeding, which I've always thought had something to do with the zinc and copper ratio affecting either estrogen or just the inflammation. Because I mean, the copper IUD works because the copper ions are cytotoxic to sperm, but interesting for all my female followers.
Yeah, cytotoxic to sperm. So therefore some other effects in the body, of course. One thing that you can look at there too, you know, in your case is very good, is your iron to copper levels. You can see you're elevated in iron, but your copper is also fairly high. So it's interesting though that your phosphorus is kind of low. Usually we see iron and phosphorus be fairly, you know, in close. So that's interesting to me. And that's something we can continue to look at as other levels increase. Now, I think it has, in this particular case, a correlation with some of the heavy metals. Like, you know, even showing a touch of mercury is something that we look at. And of course, there's some uranium there.
Yeah, can we talk about the uranium?
Quite a bit, actually. Like, yeah, so that's interesting. Uranium, you know, there's a uranium belt throughout the U.S. where there's more uranium in the soil and therefore in the water. So that's something I would think about. Aluminum as well in the water. So, you know, maybe upgrading water filters or things like that. You know, some of these things, even if you made the change in the last year or two, can just stay in the body until they're pulled out. So I would recommend one of our couple of our products in our detox tab on our unupgraded formulas. One is called Bind. You might be familiar with it. Three different particle sizes helps to grab hold of these things. And then Cytodetox, which helps your body. It's kind of a push and catch system. And then so taking that, those two together will help. It's good that mercury is showing low for now. That sometimes as we get healthier, our heavy metals start to show up more and more from years and years ago, because our body's healthy enough now to excrete it. For example, lead is not seen in the blood after about 30 days, 32 days is what the study had shown. You'll find it in hair still, because it's tissue. It's actually getting excreted that way, and it's being stored, right? And that's why it's coming out. So that's really interesting. I think that's the correlation there with phosphorus. Also, calcium just being so high is the other reason why it's low. The thing with calcium that I think is really interesting is that you get what's called a calcium shell pattern when you have this higher. So the impermeability or the permeability of cells increases. So you're less able to get certain nutrients into the cell whenever calcium's higher and higher, over about 150 or so, 170. So that's something to think. That's kind of like the major piece of homework in this case is do everything you can to get calcium down. You'll notice just more ease really in life. So better brain function, all these things, like just there's always something to improve, you know, it's great. So those are some really key thoughts there. Iodine to support thyroid, zinc to support zinc copper, continuing the magnesium, lowering the sodium a little bit. Yeah, that's really where I would focus for now and not do too much. The good news is your heavy metals to mineral ratios look good for the most important heavy metals like lead, mercury, and cadmium. So yeah, we're good there. We want to be in the acceptable range. You are. So that's the wrapping up with the good news. That's where it is.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, when I saw the uranium, I'm like, am I living on a nuke site or what? Like, what about the aluminum? Like, is that just from like aluminum cans? Is that?
Yes, aluminum cans. It can be in the water too. There's just aluminum is the most ubiquitous heavy metal. We see a lot of people be high in it. It's mainly water contamination.
What are other ways to get rid of heavy metals? Like sauna therapy?
Yes, sauna therapy would be a great choice. Doing a mix of near infrared, just the different wavelengths is good. So you can check into that. You're already very fit and working out and sweating a lot naturally, so that's good. And then just taking binders, because this is aluminum will sit in the blood for a little longer, and also the hair, and just you just want to get that out of the body so the body doesn't have to deal with that toxin, which is also like compared to mercury, less of a neurotoxin, but still a neurotoxin. So it's really important that people see these results, because most people have some aluminum, at least some mercury, some lead. Uranium is almost always because of water supply. So
interesting. Yeah, we have in Omaha. No, we're on city water. We're not on a well, but we have a whole house filtration system. So our water goes through like five different little things. Our drinking water does. And then because when I so we built our home in 2016, and I was like, I don't care what it costs, like, we're putting this filtration system in. Because when I was a med student, I was pregnant with my oldest daughter, and I was drinking an Aquafina water in the hospital, and this pediatric heart surgeon walked in, and he was like, get that toxic water bottle out of your hand. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, oh, there's so many chemicals, like, that water is garbage. And he was telling me that in Omaha, where we're, we're like in the middle of the Midwest, he takes care of all the babies with congenital heart conditions. And he said there's a part of Western Nebraska where he sees like a huge number of children who have these heart defects. And he believes it's a huge agriculture farming community, and they get all their water from an aquifer that's right below the farm grounds. And so he thinks it's due to all the pesticides and chemicals and things in their water. And so he was telling me he had this whole house water filtration, and we have a person that comes and services and switches out our filters. But he said that he put the filter in, and I think it was his yearly filter or monthly filter. And he's like, he took it out, and he had a picture of it. He showed me, and he's like, look at this. Like, all of this like came out of the water. I'm like, oh my God. It's crazy. Well,
really interesting. Yeah. So I grew up, and my father's business was actually water filtration. So I got to see a lot of this firsthand. You're right. It will make you filter your water for sure. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because the other thing I was going to say is that, having filters is great, but if you don't change them often enough, which may be, twice as often as they recommend, depending on where you live and what's in the water, then the filters will actually dump, more of that. So they could be dumping copper, it could be dumping, et cetera, throughout. The other thing, people drinking out of copper cups, that's bio unavailable. You don't want to do that.
So no Moscow mules. Is that what you're saying?
Mules, exactly. Yeah. So no water and copper. It's just not helpful. Even if you need copper, it's just not going to be something the body understands.
What about the fluoridated water? A lot of places still put fluoride in the water. Can you tell people how horrible that is?
Yeah. I just don't understand why we haven't repealed this just idiocy that they developed in the 50s. I don't know if the government's just like trying to save face, because it's been such a mistake for so long, and people were just gotten used to it, but it makes people dumber. It strips the body of other key nutrients. It makes it, your pH is something the body has to adjust then with alkalizing minerals like magnesium. Yeah, it's really just toxic. It's not good for you. So I use a reverse osmosis system countertop, and then I remineralize my water with our minerals, mm-hmm. depending on what I need based on my hair analysis, and also typically good amounts of salt because I'm sweating, working out, moving every day, sweating every day.
Yeah.
So yeah. And that helps you, the whole body detox, and taking enough magnesium helps you not be constipated. And then finding one that absorbs really well, like ours, will mean that you don't experience diarrhea, which is great when you're at line at the airport or something, you know, when you're like, I can't have diarrhea now, but also I don't want to be constipated on this flight. Your body has to utilize it, and then you'll have these smooth, you know, eliminations. And that means that your body's not reabsorbing those toxins, which is great.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Constipation is a common symptom a lot of patients, you know, experience. And magnesium, of course, one of the side effects can help with that. But so talk to me about upgraded formulas, what the technology you have, why is it absorbed better, utilized better than other supplements on the market?
Sure. So what I realized as a chemical engineer is that why the body wasn't absorbing it was because the red blood cells were a certain size, about 10,000 nanometers. And then the particle size of the like normal minerals I was trying to absorb from good brands, from a quality perspective, were between 5 times larger than that and 8 times larger than that. So it's, you picture a basketball hoop, and then you picture like a huge basketball. So of course your body has to digest that. And that would be okay if the world wasn't 1,000 times more toxic than any other point in recorded history, hence uranium in your water and aluminum in your water and mercury in your mouth for a lot of people and all these different things. By the way, go to a biological dentist, not a regular dentist, if you have mercury in your mouth that you need to take out. Because that can be a huge toxic event that can take years to get over if you do it poorly. So just a PSA there. So yeah, those are some thoughts. So particle size was something I wanted to focus on. And the results, you really see the results, because you take the magnesium and you go like, wow, I'm so like, I'm relaxed almost instantly, especially with the liquid, because you don't have to digest the capsule. But some people prefer to like not taste the liquid at all, even though you can. I always mix it with enough water until I don't taste it, and then it's fine. And I drink it far enough away from bedtime, maybe an hour or 2 hours away, so that the water is not making me get up during the night and pee. So it's just a gentle balance there. That's really helpful.
Awesome.
And then I'll drink it during the day too. In the case of magnesium, if I've had too much coffee, if I feel overwhelmed or anxious, and that's one of the symptoms that a lot of people that come to us struggle with, is anxiety. And that really, really helps. It's one of the ways that your body is letting you know that you're low in something, typically, or that you've overstimulated your central nervous system, and can be really helpful.
So that's a pattern you see with anxiety, like low magnesium on.
Yeah. Yeah. We also test for lithium in our hair test. And although that's not a focal point, if someone is telling, you know, in a normal traditional consultation with our nutritionist that I've trained, I'll have them just ask questions and listen, and, you know, and ask like, what are the top 3 things you'd like to improve? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then we'll tailor the results to those areas even more. So maybe they're also low in lithium. Pretty soon we'll have a lithium and magnesium product with some chromium in it, like all sorts of approaches to help with mood stabilization, because as you know, sometimes that can be blood sugar, sometimes that can be just low in lithium, sometimes that can be low in magnesium. So, and those are synergistic. They are, at least they're not antagonistic, which is great. That's the other thing I see with multivitamins, this is that they're just so poorly formulated, on top of not absorbing well because particle size is too big. They're just not they're poorly, like whoever put them together didn't understand the chemistry of it. Mm-hmm. So they'll put like iron in it, and like iron doesn't do well with almost anything except like vitamin C. Like, so, granted, you need a little bit of copper to utilize iron, but you don't want to, yeah, it's just, it's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like
that. Very complex, but yeah, there's certain rules that you have to follow if you want to do things well.
Yeah. Most prenatal vitamins are garbage. And then a lot of the women don't need the additional iron, and then it makes them constipated and like, or they're nauseous, and it's, yeah, it's hard.
That's so, such a good point. There's one other thing that you just reminded me of, when you said that, is it's so important for people to be testing, I would say using a test like ours, when they're thinking it, when they're getting like anemic sort of symptoms, because most people are unaware that there is something called copper anemia, mm-hmm. that presents all the same symptoms as iron anemia, and there is no way to know which one it is. Mm-hmm. And your iron levels might be low, and also your copper levels might be low. So you don't want to start supplementing iron and push out copper, mm-hmm. which you will. So you might need to raise both of them. You might need, there's a lot of different approaches depending on the person, other factors, goals, other things they're struggling with, all sorts of stuff. So mm-hmm. it's a combination of testing, asking questions, and supplementing where needed, changing, you know, maybe they're eating dark chocolate every single night, so their copper is really high, or cacao, yeah, even avocados can have good amounts of copper. It just depends on the soil too. That's the thing, like a good diet is important to get well, but it won't on its own get you well, because if you have these severe nutrient deficiencies and you have these disparaging ratios where you're just insanely high in this thing and low in this thing, like you just need something that's more precise to balance it.
Yeah. That just made me think of something in pregnancy. We were talking about anxiety and how symptoms manifest because of some of these mineral deficiencies. There's something called pica where pregnant women will literally eat. They'll come in eating dirt. In residency, there was a woman, she would come in eating baking soda. Like she was eating like boxes of baking soda, or they'll chew ice, different ways that a lot of these deficiencies will manifest.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So yeah, their body is gravitating towards that because it knows that it can get that nutrient. One of the reasons that I'm surprised a lot of people haven't connected obesity with is because sure, sometimes it's emotional eating, sometimes it's food addiction, but sometimes it's just plain old nutrient deficiency. And the body's trying to get manganese, and it's trying to get magnesium, and it's trying to get chromium, and you're not getting it, so your body's trying to eat more of that thing.
Overfed, undernourished.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And maybe that food 20 years ago was a place that your body remembers getting it, and now those almonds just don't have nutrients. I mean, 40% less in the last 80 years across the board is a common stat that I've seen. So yeah, it's essential, you know, and if, you know, with 1 in 3 Americans being pre-diabetic, it's just minerals are a balancing act for that too. So most people don't know what manganese does, but manganese helps with that. Chromium helps with that. Trace minerals help with that. And even zinc helps with that. So calcium, magnesium, balancing those help with that. So we've put a number of those into a blend, one of our blends on our site that help with that. That issue, because that can result in mood swings, obviously, that can cause, you know, work bad choices in terms of eating and behavior, frankly, nutrition becoming personality.
Fascinating. Well, Barton, tell people, we'll put a link in the show notes for people that are interested in looking into doing some testing and working with your company. But, how often, based on how fast or slow your hair grows, like how often would you repeat the testing?
I would do it every 2 to 3 months, depending on your goals. We have options for people to save money by doing that if they get on subscription, either 60 or 90 days. I do mine every 60.
Because you can.
Because I can. But yeah, 90 days is great. And then if you do that for, you know, 2 years or so, you're going to be in a much different place. If you do it for 6 months, even, you'll be in a much different place. And yeah, it's just depending on, we've made the testing affordable. So I think it's a real paradigm shifter, because people start to feel more in control of their health, more sovereign. And it's just awesome to approach it that way. So if you want, we can also give people a discount code. I think you have one as well.
Yeah,
that if you want to link that in the show notes for people's at least first purchase, maybe more. But yeah, that's really key. I'd love for people to be able to jump in and experience this. Of all the tests that I've ever done, was the most actionable and had the biggest results when I made changes. Mm-hmm. So it's huge when you start to see what you need to act on, and then you have leverage with supplements that really absorb, with reducing foods that are, you know, let's say high in calcium, for example, or high in copper, etc. So yeah, it's that 1-2 approach, and then also getting in the sauna if you need to sweat out heavy metals, because heavy metals block the absorption of certain minerals too. And as you start to pull heavy metals out, you want to be putting those antagonistic minerals in those spots, so they activate the enzymatic pathways. So it's a beautiful orchestra of things that are happening in the body. I mean, we have this chemistry lab that is our body, and it's beautiful. But
when we take care of it.
When we take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll last us a long time if we do it right.
All right, Barton, tell people how to find you, how to find Upgraded Formulas. What's your website?
Sure. Upgradedformulas.com is a great place to go. You can check out our YouTube, Upgraded Formulas on YouTube. You can find me on Instagram. Just search Barton Scott. And of course, you can find Upgraded Formulas on Instagram too. So yeah, we drip out a lot of facts like these on our Instagram and YouTube, different longer form videos. We have a free ebook on the site that people can drop in and get. Yeah, so that's pretty much everything. And then I think Jamie will have a code for you guys. And yeah, I hope this was helpful and enjoyable to listen to. It's made such a difference in my life. So I'm really happy to share it.
Fantastic. Well, I end all my podcasts with something called the semen analysis. And today we literally did the semen analysis, not my sperm, but my hair. So you guys, I'm going to work on this, reducing calcium. I'm going to keep my, and I'm going to add a little potassium, I think. And I got to figure out how to get rid of this uranium and aluminum. I got some work to do, and then we'll retest, and I'll share my results. So thank you guys. Go check out Upgraded Formulas. Barton, it's been wonderful.
Yes,
thank you.
This was so fun. Thanks for making the time, Jamie.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Fit and Fabulous podcast. You guys, make sure you leave your comments, questions over on the YouTube channel. Download this episode. Leave us your reviews on Apple Podcasts. It helps us reach more people, change more lives. Thank you guys so much. Have a blessed day.